Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites. Another opening of another
show. Well, there's lots going on in the theater world and not all of it on stage. For starters, as Broadway continues to reel from the economic effects of the pandemic, the governor, Kathy Hochul, I think she pronounces it, is proposing to expand and extend a tax credit that's intended to help the commercial theater industry rebound. She proposed some $200 million for the New York City musical and theatrical production tax credit, which provides up to $3 million a show. Early indications are that interest is very high. Nearly three dozen productions have told the state they expect to apply. Now, also due to the pandemic, the Obie Awards, an annual ceremony honoring theater work performed off and off Broadway, this year for the first time will consider digital, audio, and other virtual productions. I must have watched at least 50 or 60 of those, so good luck on remembering who did what when. It was a relatively quiet week on Broadway, so many shows have closed either due to COVID or because they planned, allegedly, for shorter runs. Slave Play and Girl from the North Country are the latest to go, though the latter hopes to return. By the way, just when you think you'll never be able to see Hamilton or The Music Man, well, a friend of mine walked up to the box office before a Wednesday matinee. He paid $50 and ended up in the eighth row to watch Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster do some good trouble with a capital T. The following week, he went to the Hamilton venue at 1:45 p.m. and got a good inexpensive seat. In other words, this is still a time to get very good and not too expensive seats for even the shows you assume will be sold out. Anyway, I thought I'd focus this week on what's happening off-Broadway. There is a lot of activity in and on various stages, and there are changes. For example, starting this week, Stomp will cut performances to four a week instead of eight. The shows will take place Fridays through Sundays, and Stomp will resume its eight performance schedule on March 29th, they say. Well, as we say, we shall see. And the Classic Stage Company's production of Assassins, a Stephen Sondheim musical, cut its run short, announcing it would cancel all remaining performances. That was a very hard show to get into, especially after Sondheim passed away. People at one time were being asked to pay $1,000 a ticket. Well, that's gone. Little Shop of Horrors opened to widespread critical acclaim, including mine, at the West Side Theater in October of 2019. Then it went down with everything else. But the production quietly reopened its doors in September of 2021. That's 2 years later, I think, if you're counting. The show about the plant that keeps getting bigger is up and running with a great original cast, including Christian Borle and Tammy Blanchard. It'll make you laugh and, well, maybe even give up gardening. Now, one that apparently won't make you laugh is Whisper House, a musical that takes place in Maine in the early 1940s. That one had its world premiere in 2010 at the Old Globe in San Diego and played London in 2017. It has spent the past couple of years in a kind of limbo, having clocked one performance at 59 East 59th before the 2020 theater shutdown. And that's where it's back up now through February 6th. Now, that's the end of this week, so it's a short one. And at Theater Row, a new piece has just gone up called Nothing's Plenty for Me. Now, not unlike the new movie called Don't Look Up, this one tries to have some fun with climate change. Yes, with $500 million at stake, five clashing environmentalists are determined to cut their carbon footprint by 80%. Fights and romances erupt as they move into one dorm room together. Performances are Wednesday through Saturdays at 8 and Sundays at 3. Again, that's on Theater Row, 42nd Street. Taking on another current and scary issue, the Rattlestick Theater continues its run of Addressless, a stage and video game hybrid. Yes, you may be tired of seeing the real thing in your neighborhood, but this piece tries to take us into the heads of those without homes. Not far away in the village is a Eugene O'Neill classic cut somehow in half in terms of running time. You might now call it a shorter day's journey into night. The two-hour version is at the Minetta Lane Theater, and real-life married couple Bill Camp and Elizabeth Marble stars had very good response. Intimate Apparel finally opens at Lincoln Center tonight, I believe, January 31st. This is the joint venture of Lynn Nottage's original play and the operatic music of Ricky Ian Gordon, two very hot artists. Intimate Apparel was well into previews when the first pandemic lockdown came and now takes the Mitzi Newhouse stage. And New York City Center's Encore series is prepping Tap Dance Kids, supposed to open this week. I hope they pull it off. It has a top-notch cast, including Joshua Henry. Meanwhile, from the New York Theater Workshop comes On Sugarland, a new work from Obie Award-winning playwright Alicia Harris. This is at once a pageant and spirited meditation on people transcending difficult circumstances. New York Theater Workshop always offers something worth checking out. Also this week, the excellent off-Broadway house The Vineyard will debut Sandblasted. That's from February 6th through March 6th. Angela and Odessa are on a sandy beach where they stumble upon a celebrity-turned-wellness maven and decide to follow her lead. Anyway, that is at The Vineyard, again, always an interesting place. And also starting February 6th, way downtown at the Flea Theater in Tribeca, is one called Arden, But Not Without You, A-R-D-E-N, Arden. That's a genre-bending, boundary-breaking New York, screams the promotion, which adds, come to Arden and happen upon a kind of love that feels too dangerous for the world we live in. Oh, at the Signature Complex and preparing a run is one called Confederates. It's likely in its previews now, and it's written by Dominique Morisseau. She is a very busy playwright. Her older show called Skeleton Crew has just opened for a limited run on Broadway, starring Felicia Rashad. Speaking of the Signature, former NBA star turned U.S. Senator Bill Bradley recently used that space to try out a one-man telling of his life. Bradley said that the idea for the show began after a reception at Princeton, where the university's library had compiled an oral history about him. His friend Manny Eisenberg, a theater producer, was in attendance. Bradley said, after my talk, Manny came up and said, sounds like Hal Holbrook. Why don't you work something up? And then I just started doing it. Well, good for him. Let's keep an eye on that ball, as so to speak. And we often talk here about traveling shows. Well, they are out there and bravely attempting to perform for hungry audiences. But just know that in December, Ain't Too Proud canceled 2 weeks in Washington. The Lion King missed 12 performances in Denver, while Wicked canceled 6 performances in Cleveland. Hamilton shut down for a month in Los Angeles. So, the risks. Finally, if you just feel like a really fun, unpredictable party, Ars Nova, the great off-Broadway theater company, is doing its annual benefit February 7th. The event will take place in a ballroom. Check Ars Nova's site for specifics. And the schedule of the evening allows guests to opt out of dinner following the performances celebrating the very deserving honorees. In fact, the honoree celebration and performances will be live streamed on Ars Nova site, if you still prefer to do your partying at home. Whew. So, Jill, lots going on off the big stages.
And soon, probably on the big Earth stages. When do you think that people will turn around? And I'm sure that Kathy Hochul's money will help.
Yeah, well, Music Man, I believe, opens this week. Finally, officially. It's been in previews off and on, as we know. So they did lose several weeks during Christmas. So we'll see if this is opening week. Yeah, I assume that's going to do well. There's still some, I don't know, 17, maybe 18 shows on Broadway or preparing to open on Broadway. So look, it's February. You know, we got through January, which is a slow month anyway, as we've discussed. So hopefully, I don't know. You know, will people go? I hope so. That's all I can say. I'm sure you're feeling the same thing out there, you know.
Well, I'm finding it at this juncture a massive demographic split, massive.
Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering about the there are a lot of people who are out and about and who will go to a lot of different things. And have done for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering about the you know, is off-Broadway any less expensive? How much less expensive is even off-Broadway now?
Oh, my God. I mean, very inexpensive. You know, $40, $50 probably, except for what Assassins was charging, but that's gone now. Oh, no, it's inexpensive. They're also much smaller houses, which means it takes fewer to fill up a house. On the other hand, it makes a lot of people nervous, let's be honest. It's a very tender time right now. I'm sure you're finding that, too. I have friends who will not go to a restaurant inside. They will not, forget that, they won't even go where there's more than four people. They won't get in a car. I was kicked out of a friend's car recently. Oh, no, no, I only drive alone now. And then there are others who are, you know, really trying to get back to normal life. So it's very, we have to be non-judgmental, you know.
But I think that particular thing affects the Broadway audience especially.
Oh,
and that, absolutely. And that's what I mean by a demographic. I mean, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but,
yeah.
You know, some people already got back to life, and other people are, you know, as you say, you're walking around or not.
Yeah. And to be honest, the shows that are doing well are the shows that were always doing well. You know, Wicked. Six, I think, is probably hanging in there. Hadestown's having no trouble selling out. There are four or five of them. Come From Away, okay. But like I said, I don't think there's any show you probably can't get into if you really care right now. Just go up to that box office. And yeah, it's the demographic thing. Come on. You know, the people who are the most nervous are the people who can afford Broadway seats. And that's really an interesting dilemma.
Yeah, the other thing, and we just have to keep mentioning it, even though it's the very end, is don't forget, this was January.
That's right, that's right. And we're in a new time, and I think people are feeling more hopeful. And again, you can't get in anywhere unless you show your vaccination. Some of them are asking for boosters, that you have to show a booster. So, and you wear a mask during the whole show, so, you know, you are safe if you feel comfortable having people sitting next to you. That's just the bottom line. And I do. I saw 20 shows, you know, between September and December. Most of them are gone now, frankly. But that's all right. You know, they tried, and they'll move on. They'll start traveling, we hope. Yeah, there's still a lot of questions out there, but hey, we're starting a new month. So let's start with new, no judgment, but new hope.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.